Welcome back, DG. Ask 104.1 FM KMOX. So excited to have Melissa Price Smith on the show, live in studio. We re-met because we knew each other in a previous life, kind of, when we were younger. And then we met at Michael Kelly's party. So it's good to get reacquainted with you.
Good to see you. Yes, we knew each other when we were much younger.
Yes, much younger and silly. All right. So let's start out. People know who you are, but they don't know who you are. So give us a background. Like, how did you get where you are now?
Well, I have been in the prosecutor's office 18 years. Prior to that, I grew up in St. Louis. I grew up in a ballet company for years and went to Mizzou, moved to Las Vegas, danced for a show called Siegfried and Roy for 3 years with my twin sister, and then came home and my sister and I were part of the first Team Fredbird. We were hired because of the Cardinal strike in 1994. Mm-hmm. So I did that during law school. I remember studying for law school in the back hallways of the stadium.
Wow.
Yeah. But been at the prosecutor's office 18 years. I have handled almost every type of crime, from misdemeanors to robberies, burglaries, guns and drugs, homicides. But for the past several years, I've done primarily sexual assault and child abuse. And I have been in this chair as the first female prosecutor of St. Louis County since January 3rd of 25.
Let's go back to Siegfried and Roy. we've all been to Vegas, and after a couple of days, you're like, I have to get out of here. It doesn't matter where I go, I must leave. Like, what was that like being in residency, basically, in Vegas?
Well, I wouldn't vacation there either. I don't gamble at all. And, you know, living there, I did the shows twice a night at the Mirage. For those who don't know, they were illusionists. There were 60 of us dancers, and they were famous for the illusions with their white tigers. They were really incredible. But during my normal life there, we stayed off the Vegas Strip. That was more of the tourist thing that I wasn't interested in.
Yeah. So let me give you your office a compliment. So when I was in law school and my 10 years of practice, I was so proud of being a litigator, and I'm a trial attorney, and I did do trials and I did a lot of motion work. You guys, public defenders, prosecutors, we're talking about this before we went on, you're trial attorneys. I mean, you guys are in the trenches every single day.
Yeah, I consider us the front lines. Anybody who is a prosecutor is going to be in trial. If there's a law student getting out of law school and they don't want to be a trial lawyer, they should not work at our office or the public defender's office. I think I had 10 trials in my first year and a half out of law school. And now I've handled hundreds and hundreds of cases, but I've had about 40 felony jury trials.
What is the key? Like, we're talking about my daughter's maybe on her way to law school and will probably want to be a trial attorney. What makes someone a good trial attorney? What are not the tricks, but what are the assets that you've learned are really key?
I think what makes somebody a good prosecuting attorney is you have to really, really care. My heart belongs in my days of being a sexual assault and child abuse prosecutor. And you have to just care so much about those victims and be willing to walk through their darkest days with them to get them through the system. And you also have to know that you're never going to be rich as a prosecutor or a public defender. You are just doing it to, as a prosecutor, to find justice for the victims and put violent offenders away.
Yeah. So when I was a divorce attorney for about 5 years, it screwed with my head because you start to feel like everyone's getting divorced, right? I had a friend who's an oncologist. She's like, oh, yeah, I think everyone has cancer. Like, what was that like dealing with sexual assault? It's so difficult to not take that home.
Absolutely true. I mean, it definitely messes with you. I mean, I think, you know, the first couple of years I did those kind of cases, you start to lose faith in humanity. But I will tell you, soon after, your faith in humanity goes right back up. And the reason for that is because of the victims. In doing these type of cases, I have met some of the bravest people in the world, people who are willing to come forward and talk about these atrocious things that have happened to them. Because if I say it once, I'll say it every time I get the chance. Disclosure leads to healing. And for every victim who comes forward, there's another 100 right there who never say a word. And those are the ones who carry it with them. But if our office can work to give victims a voice so they know they are safe with us and they can come forward and we will help them through the justice system, doesn't mean it's an easy system. I mean, it's not easy to go to trial for a victim, but we are there to help them through it. And that's why I get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Melissa Price-Smith, who is the prosecuting attorney for St. Louis County. Tell me about that. You said it's easy to lose your faith in humanity, and you are, by the very definition of your job, dealing with criminals or alleged criminals every single day. How much of it now in 2025, maybe as opposed to 25 years ago when I was running around the courthouse, is about also thinking of the criminals, if that makes sense?
Sure.
To find what is the really the best thing that's going to get you where you need to be to get you out of this life you're in now?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I don't want anybody to ever think we are a lock them up and throw away the key type of office. We care about the offenders not becoming repeat offenders. So we also focus on our treatment courts, DWI court, drug court, mental health court, veterans court. These are courts that give low-level offenders an opportunity to get the help that they need. And they're very, very important courts because it gives them the opportunity to change the trajectory of their lives. I mean, I had a brother who passed away 2 years ago, but he was 9 years older than me, and he was he lived a life of crime because he was an addict. And if we had had the drug court, treatment court system 40 years ago, I think he'd be alive today.
Yeah. I have a similar brother who I lost by suicide back in 2002. But the same thing, addictions led to behaviors.
Yeah, they really do. So we want to work with, you know, we don't want offenders to be repeat offenders. We've also met with groups like Keyway and Concordance who do these amazing reentry programs for people who are in the system to help them get on with their life and not repeat the same mistakes.
Yeah. So I've always known the St. Louis County prosecutor, not, you know, intimately, but I've always known them and shake their hand and such. With Wesley Bell, it seemed to become more political. And I don't mean that as a slight against Wesley at all. I was a big fan of his. But it just seemed like that chair took on much more of a political standpoint. Talk to me about serving both masters that you have to.
Well, I'm a prosecutor. I am not a politician. And I feel very strongly about that. This office is focusing on crime, not on politics, not on political vendettas. I am also very aware, though, that I'm grateful I was appointed by Governor Parson to finish Wesley Bell's term. But I'm very aware now I have to run for election in the primary of August of 26. And I intend to do that. And I hope that I hope the voters are able to see the great work we've done so far and the great work we will have done by then. Because I tell you, we work every day to make this office stronger. We are working to take it to a whole new level from the new teams we've created, a new homicide team. We've reinstated our violent crime unit. We've recruited 3 veteran prosecutors from the U.S. Attorney's Office. We are making this office stronger and St. Louis County safer. And we're going to keep doing it. And I want to keep doing this work. And I know the necessary evil is to run for election, which I'll do.
Kevin Raich, jump in anywhere you want here. Talk about the backlog that you were facing and the dent you put in it already.
Yeah, when I came in, we had a backlog of 6,000 felony cases, which had not been reviewed yet. The tireless work of every single person in my office, we are just about caught up now. People have been working overtime. People have come in on weekends, volunteered their time. It really is a group effort. This isn't my office. This is our office. And we are all have all been working really hard to get caught up on that backlog. And even more importantly, not have a new backlog created because we get so many cases.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have it's maybe an odd, dumb guy question, but what do we normies miss? Because my interaction with the court system is either a speeding ticket or being on a jury. Like, that's it. What's some of the day-to-day stuff that's really important that someone that's never had a legal background and never really been involved in this, what do we miss about the steps on this? And is there something we should be paying better attention to?
No, I think what people miss is how many people are involved in this office and how many people truly, truly care about making St. Louis County safer. We have 55 prosecutors. We have about 10 victim advocates. No victim ever goes to court alone. We have 10 investigators. We have about 30 support staff. And everybody in that office truly works together. And I think people would be surprised by the magnitude of violent crimes we get, sexual assaults, child abuse, drug cases. I think that is probably what would be most shocking to people, the numbers, really.
Yeah.
So, Melissa, you said you worked with the office for 18 years, then you have a chance to lead. On day one, back in January, when you were sworn in, what were you most excited to tackle that you felt needed, like, that extra attention that maybe it wasn't getting in the past?
Well, I was sworn in the morning of January 3rd, 25. That afternoon, I reinstated a violent crime unit that had been suspended 2 years before. Mm. Since that unit has been reinstated, I believe we've issued, that team has issued about 185 violent crimes. The purpose of having a violent crime unit is now those cases, violent crimes, are reviewed in real time. They don't sit in files waiting for a prosecutor to review them while the offender can pick up new cases. They are reviewed immediately. So charging decisions can be made. And if a charge is issued, the offender is held and charged immediately rather than getting out and committing more crime.
Talk about some of the challenges that you have specifically with St. Louis County.
I guess a challenge would be the amount of cases. But we, like I said, have really strengthened our office. Right now we have about 250 pending homicide cases in St. Louis County. Mm. However, we've recruited a former assistant U.S. attorney named Mike Riley. We have brought him in, and he is a great rock star veteran prosecutor, and he came to the office to lead our violent crime unit. So that is something that's really helping a lot. Then we brought in someone also from the U.S. attorney's office named Carrie Costanton, who is our new chief trial attorney. And she is basically counseling every attorney before they go to trial and breaking down their case with them. Then another individual from the U.S. attorney's office named Jerry McDonald, who also is coming to our homicide unit, plus just the wisdom of everybody who's in the office, who's really, it's a really, really dedicated team. And I really want people to know how much the people in the office care.
What else would you like to know, finally, the people in St. Louis County and the surrounding counties to feel better, to sleep better at night? They're safe. They're taken care of. Someone's on the watch.
Well, I would want them all to know that we work in partnership with law enforcement. We work in partnership with Gabe Gore at the Circuit Attorney's Office, Joe McCullough in St. Charles. We're very aware that criminals don't see this imaginary line. I mean, the same people who commit the crimes in the city commit the crimes in the county. But we are all working together to make it safer. I grew up in St. Louis County. I raised my kids in St. Louis County. I want my kids to want to stay in St. Louis County. So I like the people I work with. It's not just a job. I think you have to have a certain heart to do this work. And the people I work with, we all do.
Very good. It's great to meet you again. I'm glad I got reacquainted.
Good to see you.
Open door anytime you need the DGS for anything, and you have our support. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
I took a home. Black Betty, bam, welcome back, DGS 424. Grace, what's the thing with the Powerball numbers?
Oh, my goodness. There is a man who, so he bought a Powerball ticket, didn't check, didn't watch like the television broadcast, got distracted, had life goes on, whatever. So he goes and he checks the website a couple days later, and his ticket matches. All of the numbers match.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that was an error on the website.
Yikes.
Those were not the numbers that were actually drawn. He thought he was winning like $300 million.
Oh, my Lord.
He won nothing. I think should, I would have an actual mental breakdown at that point.
They should have to give him.
They should have to give him something.
Give him a Chili's
like
gift card or something.
$1,500 or something.
Yeah,
like that
Chili's gift card.
That might be the only thing that could comfort me in that situation.
I need a triple dipper stat.
Yeah, I need the mozzarella sticks with the cheese pull stat.
Hmm.
Super
That's
big
bad.
Bummer. Yeah, not
and
good.
Microplastics.
Yeah, so it turns out, let me get this story pulled up here. I don't want to mess anything up. We think of microplastics. Where do you think you would typically be ingesting microplastics? Perhaps from a plastic bottle?
Yes, that's my number one.
Well, it turns out that glass bottles are found to have 5 to 50 times as much microplastics as plastic bottles in a shocking new study.
Do we know why?
That's a good question. So it's
like, is
because
it in the glass?
It's in the glass. Glass can get these tiny scratches that we can't see with our naked eye.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it's like, oh, the caps were stored a certain way or the bottles are rubbing together, and that lets the microplastics in and absorbs, and then we're taking in even more microplastics.
What if we're
we
taken down
bottles?
By microplastics? What if it's so much worse than we think?
I feel like I'm like 80% microplastic at this point. Just took a DNA test. Turns out I'm microplastic now. Okay, I have one more kind of random story for you to finish out this segment if you want. I don't remember if we talked about this back when it happened in 2024, but there was a Missouri deer hunter. He ended up losing his hunting rifle, got fined $2,000, and was banned from hunting privileges for an entire year because he illegally shot a mountain lion from his tree stand. So he was out deer hunting and happens upon this mountain lion, and his first instinct was just like, oh, I'll shoot it. He ended up calling the police to say, like, hey, I'm not sure what to do with this mountain lion. Like, what do you think I should do? Well, it turns out it is illegal to shoot mountain lions in the state of Missouri, so he faced consequences from it. But it turns out this mountain lion traveled all the way from Nebraska. Hmm. It had walked 800 miles from Nebraska, made it all this way. It was actually part of a research project on mountain lion movement, so then it really started moving.
Yeah.
And ended up getting shot by this hunter. Just super big bummer.
That's no kidding around stuff. Like shooting a bear when you're not supposed to shoot a bear. Yeah.